Hello and welcome everybody to the Thing I Love Most show. And we are very, very excited to be back. It's been a long, long summer. And I've hardly spoken to these fine young gentlemen. So it's good to be able to have a chat with them again and obviously discuss today's final transfer deals and the rest of the preseason. And then obviously preview the game that we have coming up in a couple of days' time now against Aston Villa. So welcome, guys. I've got Lee Curtin on the line once again. Hello, Lee.
Hello, hello.
And then I have Tim Leonard all the way from NYC, baby.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, very good, thank you. So I think we'll have to start on the transfer, seeing as it is the most recent news. We'll then obviously discuss about the sort of the squad shape in general, and then pre-season in general, and then obviously preview the Aston Villa game as well. So we'll start on the transfer. So obviously we had confirmation, which we pretty much knew, even though they literally decided to just reveal him like very, very late in the day. But we thought throughout the day that the two deals were going to get done. Lo Celso and Sessegnon have signed. So firstly, just quickly on those two, Lee, I'll go for you in terms of your thoughts on the two players that we have signed and their potential and where you see them fitting into the team.
Well, first of all, how good is it to be talking about signing a player? three in total. It's almost mind blowing. First of all, I think all three of them are good signings. I think they're all very good signings. They're all of a decent age as well, and come with decent pedigree and good experience. So there's a lot of pluses in there. But that kind of then goes back to, I suppose, Levy and Pock's agenda. So in the long term, there may be some decent sell-on fees in there for them. But looking at it right now, I think Ndombele is going to be the best one of the three. I think he's the one who's going to slip straight in. I think he's obviously got the plus. He's got the positive of already having a pre-season and a few games with the boys as well. And he looks the part. He looks the part. With Sessegnon, I think it'll be a little while before we kind of see him regularly in a shirt. And it will be interesting because I know that even up until about an hour ago, we was rejecting bids for Danny Rose from Watford and maybe a few others. So I'd be interested to see how the Danny Rose situation pans out. I'm still a big Danny Rose fan. And I get, I get there's some people that may choose to disagree because they believe that his crossing isn't of the quality it should be. And he gets forward and he tackles, he does all the hard work and then just fails with that last ball a little bit. So, you know what, in the bigger picture is it could be time to move him on. But it's hard to admit that when you see somebody who still gives 100% in a Spurs shirt, he literally gives it his all. So I think that'll be, listen, if we play another 65 games this season, between Davis, Sessegnon and Rose, they'll all be fresh and they'll all have a good run out. So I think Sessegnon's going to be a good addition. Lo Celso's the one for me. I'm not too sure. I haven't seen enough of him, to be honest. And I've done a bit of swatting up and I've looked at a few stats. And again, he's been at decent clubs. He was with PSG and he's got off and done a little bit in Betis and he's an Argentinian international. So he must have something about him. He is only 23. So it seems that he's the one who's going to run and dribble with the ball a bit more and carry it forward and look for the assist and the odd goal. So it'll be interesting. There's definitely going to be a fight for spaces in the middle of the park. That's for sure.
There will be. And so, Tim, over to you. Are you happy at the end of this window? Are you content with what we've done? Or do you feel that it's still dependent on what happens with Eriksen?
A little of both. I'm definitely happy with the class of players that were signed. We signed, it wasn't just a bunch of 10 to 15 million pound players. It was guys who cost a lot of money, who big club, other big clubs were going after. And those are the kinds of players that I want to see. I want to see that we're connected with players who have interest from, you know, the Juventus, Manchester City, Liverpool. I want to see us involved with players like that. Not, well, also Aston Villa is interested. Those are the guys I don't want anymore. And I think we've graduated from those kinds of players. Now, to that said, I think Jack Clarke could prove to be a good signing. And we can't get away from players like that because you always want to try to discover a young talent that you can get on the cheap. But I see we have three players that are now in who on any given weekend could be in the starting lineup for us. Like Lee said, I think Lo Celso is the guy who, for me, he's the one who needs to kind of prove himself the most, because, you know, he doesn't have, you know, the as much experience in his role, I guess, as some of these other guys do. And I know Sessegnon, I saw something about him where the speculation is he's going to be used more as a left wing and as an attacking player as opposed to being a left back. So, you know, that'll be a new role for him that he should be able to grow into, because he's that kind of quality player. But, you know, obviously I would have liked to have gotten Dybala or Fernandez, because I think the expectation for everybody is that Eriksen is going to be sold in the next couple of weeks and probably somewhere in Spain.
Yeah, so it does seem like that could be possible. And I think that's the frustration for me, in terms of the fact that obviously our transfer window has closed. We've done our business, but we don't know what the Spanish teams are going to do with regards to Eriksen. And so that does leave us in a bit of limbo, really, to be honest, because then if he does go, then we probably are going to be a bit short, because although we do have Lo Celso, who is almost maybe potentially a like-for-like replacement, we still needed someone else creatively. And I think that's what we wanted to add to. We wanted these quality players to add to our squad, not just as replacements. So I think it would be interesting, but I think he seems to, I mean, from his sort of body language and his penalties in pre-season, he's gone already. He was gone weeks ago, but obviously it's not that easy to sell a player if clubs don't come in for you. Man U potentially maybe come in for him. He didn't want to go to them. Fair play. I appreciate that. But the Spanish clubs also don't seem to be interested. I don't know if they're waiting for now, obviously, the window to close. So now they know that we're done with our business. So they're going to now and try and sort of like give a cut price offer, because they know that Levy initially was asking for about 125 million, I think, which is crazy considering he's only got a year left on his contract. You've got to take that into consideration, I think. So right. Then he might go, and in January he can arrange to he can do what Ramsey did, and he can arrange a contract already for 2020. So we've only got till January to be able to change his mind and sign a new contract, or somehow sell him. I mean, obviously, until the transfer window closes in Spain. So it's a bit of an interesting situation for me, I find. But just my take on the players in general, I think they're all top quality. I think we've really stepped up. You know, if you consider the whole Bale thing, what happened when Bale left, who we got in then, you know, obviously Eriksen was part of that. And Lamela, we got some really average players, but these guys are not average. I agree with both of you in terms of Lo Celso. I think we need to see more of him, but I think it's really exciting that he's a dribbler. I really do. And also a finisher from outside the box. I think that's really, really important. And I think he's going to score some crackers. I can't wait to see him. I also can't wait to see him link up with Winks and Ndombele, because those are going to be that's the key triangle for me. I think Sissoko won't be as influential this season. I think it will probably be that three. And I think Ndombele is going to be just threading those balls through, and you're going to see we're going to see some really, really good goals, I think, which is exciting. So yeah, I think overall we should be happy, but I think like you're saying, the Eriksen situation for me is still a frustrating one. And I don't know, are they going to play him on Saturday? Are they just going to carry on as normal? What do you think, Lee?
I think he plays. I think they will play him. And you know what? It's funny, because like you say, you speak about his body language, and it hasn't been great. But you know, sometimes I could be one of his biggest plaudits, but I'm almost also one of his biggest critics as well. And I probably go in on him really hard just because he's a gifted footballer. What I will say is this: I think he's professional enough. When I look around at the guys that have even fallen out with Pochettino or fallen out with Levy over the years, they've always gone, and there's, you know, they've kind of kept their cards close to their chest, and they've always remained professional. They've never gone off and bad-mouthed us. And I know in the past, Levy's had gentlemen's agreements with some of the players in terms of they stay a bit longer and he'll let them go next time around. So I do think Eriksen will go. And do you know what? I would take 80 million for him before the end of August. I believe he's professional enough, but I just feel that if somebody's heart's not in it from August through to May, that they're better off gone. And let's just work with the guys in the change room who are all chasing the same target, the same goals, and all on the same page.
But do you think someone's going to bid 80 million if they know they can get him for free next year? That's a lot of money.
It is, but I think I think the full package would be an 80 million package. I think he goes, you know, whether it's a cut price of 60 mil, there'll be 20 million worth of add-ons and bonuses in there somewhere along the line. Levy ain't silly. You know, he'll chase every last penny. And you go back to the bail money, that's 100 million, you know, and we feel like we wasted that 100 million. And when you look back, if we get 80 back from just Eriksen,
I just can't see that, because, you know, the Spanish clubs don't have much money. Real Madrid has spent a fortune. So in order to stick to the fair play rules, they're going to struggle. They've not got that sort of cash. They might even be talking to Neymar at the moment, which would probably be a loan initially. But so we can't do a loan initially, because then a loan initially, and then what happens? He's out of contract. So I think we're in a tough spot. I don't think it's going to be as easy as him just walking out the door for 80 million whatsoever.
No, it's tough. And I think that's the way the game's going. I think if you look back over the summer, there's more players trying to buy clubs than clubs trying to buy players. Pogba's bowling around at the start of the summer talking about, you know, Madrid, and then Eriksen's bowling around going, yeah, I fancy a bit of Madrid. Like, who are you to fancy whoever? You know, it's up to the clubs. I find the game's changing. You know, I know Maguire got his Man United move, but Maguire's sitting there going, oh, don't quite fancy them. I quite fancy United or City. So the game's changing. Players are sitting there now going, no, this is where I want to go to. And it'll be interesting, because like you said, there's a financial fair play is now up and running, and it's, you know, but I still believe that between Barca, PSG, Madrid, Juventus, I believe there's something not quite right there. There's no way Dilit signs for Juventus over one of the two clubs in Spain. So I don't imagine him being there next year either. So I think they move their money around very, very well. So it will be interesting. But I think,
he's a top quality player. And they were showing his stats yesterday on Sky Sports, and since his debut in the Premier League, he's first in four categories. I think it was like chances created, assists, and goals from outside the box, or goals from set piece, or something like that. So he's been very, very consistent for us. I think for us as Tottenham fans, we sometimes, because we know our players can perform at a certain level, we then expect them, like Dele Alli almost when we had his first season, we expect them to hit those heights more regularly than they do. And when they don't do that, we get pissed off with them, basically, and then we just get on their backs. And players go out of form all the time. You know, Kane is the same, and, you know, other players do. But I think for him, it was just... And the whole corners thing, I mean, God, I know we laugh about it, but Jesus... Yeah. Like, you know, that is incredible. Like, he can't. So we're talking about him hitting the first man, by the way, if you know what we're talking about. But like, so I'm hoping Lo Celso can, I mean, Lamella seems to be taking a few at the moment, but I'm hoping Lo Celso can whip a good corner in. So obviously it wasn't just incomings over the summer. We did lose a few players. And I think your heart rate monitor must be doing a lot better now, Kurt, because we don't have Kieran Trippier for you to moan about anymore. So what's going to happen? Who's going to be your scapegoat? You know what I mean? How are we going to have the Kurtz rant section? I've got this massive, like, you know, whole big thing I was going to have when we do a video. But so Trippier did go for quite a small fee, I thought, considering he's an established international. And, you know, he was performing reasonably-ish well. He had an injury last season, obviously, so he said that affected his consistency. I think it was only about 22 million. If you look at some of the prices being banded around today, that I don't think that was too much, really. I would have hoped that we would have got a little bit more for him. What do you think, Tim?
I agreed. I was kind of surprised at how small the fee was. And I think it might wind up being a really good bit of business for, you know, I'm just the thing that bothers me with Trippier is nobody wanted to sell him last year. And last year, we probably could have gotten 50 million for him.
Yeah.
And after 1 year, his value winds up being cut by more than half, which I thought was a little odd. And then when you hear the offers today, I mean, we turned down 25 million for Rose from Watford. Well, I'm not going to say that Trippier is better than Rose, but they're on a fairly similar level. So, you know, why is it, you know, why is the fee so much smaller for Trippier? I don't know. I don't understand why they accepted it unless they just wanted to get him out the door.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Vorm obviously went on a free. Llorente has gone on a free. There is talk of Llorente coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if he did, seeing as we didn't end up getting a striker over the line. We'll talk about Parrott shortly when we talk about our pre-season games. And then Onuma has left to go to Fulham as part of the Sessegnon deal, and Carter Vickers as well has gone on loan to Sheffield United. So they've got rid of a few of the fringe people, which is good for them to get the experience. I still can't see any of them making it with the club. They just seem to not be in Poch's mind, so hence why they are happy to leave him be. But yeah, I think all in all, and also if you look at the age of the players that we signed, I can't remember how old Sessegnon is. He 18, 19?
19, I believe. 19.
Yeah, 19. Ondombele is 22 and Lo Celso is 23. You know, that's back to where we used to be in terms of our business model, in terms of potentially selling on players if need be, and obviously, you know, getting the most out of them and getting them to gel as a team. I think that's why we've had such success, because the squad is young and it is basically, you know, improving together as you've seen over the past few years. And now we've got to this stage. So now it's just all about pushing on. So fingers crossed that will happen. Okay, now it's time to talk about our pre-season, because it was it wasn't a bad pre-season, to be honest. We definitely had worse. We won our first trophy since last year's pre-season trophy, which was, it was good to win a penalty shootout, but it was obviously a little bit annoying that some of the players got a bit carried away and made it a little bit embarrassing for themselves, but that's all right. We'll forgive Mora for his last season's exploits. So let's talk about the preseason games, and I think it's definitely worth talking about the young players, because obviously we've spoken about the transfers and we do look upon the squad without the young players, really, and some of them came in and they did a really, really good job, I thought. I think Skip is definitely looking stronger. He's always been quite confident now, but he's really, really good at winning the ball back. He's really good at intercepting. He's laying it off. He's not really going for much more than that, but it's still a role that will be needed, I think, throughout the season. And obviously Parrott, I'd not seen anything from him before, but was really impressed with how he played in all of the games that I saw of him. I thought he was quite strong for a 17-year-old. I thought his movement was really, really good, and his skill level I thought was quite high, and his intelligence. He worked really well with the other players. And so I think if he was, if we didn't know he was 17, and if he was a player from another team and they said he was 21, I think we'd be saying, yeah, buy him. I really do, because I was impressed. I was impressed. And obviously, you know, he is 17, so he's got a lot to learn. He'll get stronger. But, you know, Rooney was only 16 when he scored that goal against Arsenal. Like, you know, there's only, you know, certain limitations you can have to put on a player. And I'm actually quite pleased that we didn't necessarily sign a striker, because I think it will mean that he'll have more game time. And I think that'll be better for him. So I can't wait to see him. Obviously, we had some indifferent performances. The Juve game was pretty decent, and the Man U, and obviously the Roma game recently as well, and the Bayern Munich. So, Don, we have Don on the line. Big bad Don.
Yo, welcome.
Oh, sweet mama Jesus. Welcome back, Don. Welcome to the season. Hope you're holding the phone close to your face as we've requested you to do with your no headphones. I'm sure you are. So we haven't heard from you this show, so I'll go first to you. What are your general thoughts on pre-season, and what are your thoughts on the youth coming through? We obviously had Harvey White as well. We had George Marsh. We had Rolls coming through. So there was quite a few that got involved. And the centre-back as well, who's also signed a contract recently, I believe, almost about to. So
is it Tanganga?
That's the one, yep.
Yeah, you spoke about Troy Parrott, and, you know, we've touched on Oliver Skipp as well. But for me, Tanganga was, he looks like the player for me that is going to come through. He's definitely, I don't say he's a headache, as in he's got to start, nothing like that. But, you know, he was definitely talked through pre-season. Majority of the games, I think he played alongside, not I think, but he, for at least two of the games, he played alongside Alderweireld. And he looks good. He looks sharp. You know, he's breaking up play. New, obviously, always passing to Alderweireld to play out of the fence. But out of all the players that I saw, he was the one that stood out for me. I liked Troy Parrott as well, to the point where, and I have to agree with you, I don't, you know, there was this talk of us re-signing Llorente. Don't think we really need to. And this forces our manager, coach's hand into playing him, I think, at some point in the season. And I think he'll benefit from that. If he's around the first team, I think he'll definitely benefit from that. Oliver Skipp, I'm agreeing with you, but I think slightly, I think it's more of the same. I don't think he was really great. I don't think he was really bad. Can he move on to the next stage? We'll see. But for me, it's almost looking at Onuma, who's obviously at Fulham at the moment. So it's whether or not can he move up to that next stage. And we'll see.
Okay. And then, Tim, what are your thoughts on the general sort of level of our performance across the preseason?
Generally, I was pretty happy with it. Obviously, we're playing top sides. Penalties, when those are happening, I don't really care, because, you know, those games don't count anyway. So I didn't really worry about the penalties very much. I do want to talk about Parrott for one thing. I thought that the run that he made against Juventus on the goal that wound up, that Lamella wound up scoring off the rebound, I thought that was just absolutely brilliant. And when you see a 17-year-old doing that, to lay the ball off to Sonny and then to just sprint on a diagonal run, he got the ball back, probably should have scored. Keeper made a fantastic save and then just spilled the rebound onto Lamella's foot. But that sequence just impressed the hell out of me. And for like I said, for that kid to be 17 years old, what a future he has. Just to have that kind of IQ and that kind of hustle. I mean, just there, I would have loved to have seen him score a goal. And then in another game, he hit a post. You know, the kid obviously looks like the real deal. Obviously, like you said, he's got a lot of learning to do. He's got some muscle to gain, you know, but a lot kind of like Harry Kane at 19 when he was a stick figure. You know, that's going to come with age, and that's going to come with some work in the training room. I also agree with Tanganga. I thought he played very well. Skip, I think, is one for the future. I think he's kind of an underrated player just because of the position he plays. It's not a spectacular type position. It's one where if you just do your job, you know, you're probably not going to get noticed very much. So I like Skip as somebody who in the next couple of years should have a role with the club.
So in a way, are we? Because obviously, if we're looking at the transfer window now being closed, so we're looking at a squad in comparison to what it was last year, and we are a few players short. Are we thinking then, obviously, maybe Parrott and then Manganga are replacements, or at least can be looked upon as being squad players? Do you think they'll be used this season quite a lot, Lee?
I'd imagine so. I think so. You know, if we find ourselves in a position like we did last year, where we're notching up 60-odd games, luckily, I mean, there's been less international football from most, I think, from our point of view this year, I think, bar one or two players. But some of those boys were knocking on 70-something games, the top international players. So there was always a cry for rotating and picking certain games. And Potts kind of ran into a bit of a dead end then, because you got, you know, people want to win a cup as well. Say, oh, it's the League Cup, we want to win a trophy, you know, and then you put out slightly weaker players, but we found our way to the semi-finals. Oh, why are you playing weaker players in the semi-finals? You know, we're one step away from a trophy. So, look, I think we've got a very strong 13, I think, which is always a good start, always a good base. And then the promise of some of these lads. So looking at Tanganga, who you know, he held himself extremely well against some proper top draw players, and some good caliber, as Tim mentioned, some good caliber of clubs in the preseason. We play good caliber of fixtures, and Tanganga, he held himself well. He was strong. He was composed. He had a game with Toby. He had a game with Jan. So I think Poch is putting together a long-term plan. I don't know if he will move Sanchez out of the way yet in the pecking order, but there's definitely going to be games for them. And with Llorente now gone, you know, I think ultimately we'll always go back to Son first as the second striker, providing he's fit. But if there's games where we don't need to do that, then I think we will see Parrott. And I think probably towards the end of last year, we may well have seen a bit more of Parrott, except for he did get injured. So, yeah, we will see him in the first team this year. He'll definitely have a few run outs. So it'll be interesting to see. And he looks the part. I do have to say, like you said, you mentioned physically, he looks quite good, you know, very similar to Rooney. And as Tim touched on, quite intelligent with his movement and his runs as well. So, listen, he's surrounded by some quality. He's surrounded by Sonny and Harry Kane and Moura and Ali and Eriksen. And, mate, if they can't point you in the right direction, or, you know, you can't make a run and then boys deliver you the ball, then you probably shouldn't be on the pitch. And just to touch on Skip again, he'll come in and mop up in certain games like he did last year. He's still young. But he's in that position where we probably are overcrowded. You know, he's going to go into a midfield where you've got Skip, you've got Dier, you've got Wanyama, Ndombele, Winksy, Eriksen, Lo Celso. There's a lot of players holding that middle of the park now. But he's one for the future, as mentioned. So, but he'll appear, he'll have games. But I thought all of them showed themselves very well. And I know it's probably just to cover, but Giorgio played particularly well at left, on the left side of defence again. And I know predominantly he's a left winger, but he showed up very well. He showed up well.
Yeah, I've liked him in previous pre-seasons, but apparently there was issues with his attitude in training, I think, previously. And then he went to Levante B last year and he did quite well, supposedly, but didn't make it to the first team. So, the one thing that did surprise me about the formation that we were playing is that we'll come on to that when we talk about Saturday's game is that they did almost go, it was like a diamond, but Ndombele played quite further forward than I thought he was going to be. And it was Winks who was sitting with Sissoko on the right and Ndombele on the left, a little bit further forward. So I don't know if that's what they're going to do, or obviously it's a formation thing, so it will change game to game. But I thought it was going to be, I thought he was a little bit more defensive, but it looks like he is proper box to box, like Yaya Toure, Vieira type sort of player who is going to get you goals, going to get you assists, but is also going to get back and get that tackle in. So it's really exciting, I think, to see. I think for me, he's the one who is going to make a difference. And, you know, people talk about, oh, we sold three players or we sold Dembele, or, you know, but we got Ndombele. I think he's top draw. I really, really do. I think he's going to be in the team of the season come the end of the year. I really,
yeah,
really
for
do.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
I rarely say this because, you know, people watch BTs, people watch, you know, pre-season and judge players on that. I mean, we're probably covering Kudu. You know, he always looks good in pre-season. But looking at Ndombele, I've got to say this. I've only ever said this once before, and that was with Berbatov. When we had Berbatov, you know, it took a while. If you remember, it took a while for him to get into it. But I kept telling people, you've just got to wait for this. And it's exactly the same with Ndombele. It might not happen straight away, guys, but you know when it clicks. Like you say, he's got a bit of everything. He's got Yaya in him. He could probably sit there and just mop stuff up if that's what you were asking him to do. But there's a lot in the locker.
It's his turn of pace. He's like Winks has got a similar thing. Is it when he receives the ball, he spins, he spirals, like, and then he's forward facing. But when he does it more athletically, and he's bigger and he's stronger and he's almost maybe more technical. I don't know, but he's gone. Like, literally, he gets that ball and he's gone. Like, he's 2-3 yards up the pitch already with that ball, and it's just like, wow, like, that is incredible to have that sort of transition play, and then he's just looking for that pass, and he seems to not just look for the obvious pass. He's really looking for, like, that incisive pass, as he looked for the Moura goal against Juve. You know, that was like an incisive, straight down the middle in front of the keeper, make the keeper work for it, and obviously it turned out to be a great assist. So no, I think it's really exciting. All right, so it's time to talk previews for the first time this season. I'm so excited. Waited for ages for this moment. It's Aston Villa. Woo! Doesn't matter who it is. It's the first game of the season, so we are incredibly excited. I think we're all going, apart from Tim, unfortunately, but he's going to be there in spirit, casting his eye.
The matter of the ocean.
Yeah, I know. You know, some of those fans are just so fickle. We are ready now to talk tactics, to talk lineups, because obviously we have almost a full squad apart from Ali at the moment. We've already discussed the sort of Eriksen, will he start, will he not start? So we need to talk about formation. Now, firstly, right back, obviously, we don't have many at the moment. In fact, in terms of fit right backs and ones that aren't even suspended, we have one. Kyle Walker-Peters. Now, we've been rooted for Kyle Walker-Peters on this show. He's still yet to convince a lot of people. And I think defensively, they seem to have issues with him, which is frustrating me. He is good going forward. Maybe it's his slight frame, or maybe it's, I don't know. I thought he did all right against Ronaldo in the Juve game. I thought he held his own. He put a few tackles in. He's not afraid to put tackles in. He is obviously smaller than your average right back, maybe, but I think I still think he's got the potential. So I'm looking forward to these games, and I just hope he doesn't have any howlers, and he just, you know, holds himself quite well. He might be going into my fantasy league team even, which is a serious move, Kyle. If you're listening, you better hold your own, buddy.
Get some bonus points. League for the thing I love most.
We do need to set up a league. We should do. I will crack on with that, and I'll get it on our Facebook page, so all of the fans can get involved as well. So we're talking about formation. We're talking about teams, who we're going to play. I think the back five speaks for itself. So Lee, over to you to discuss the rest of the team. So you've got six players. Go.
Yeah, thanks. I've kind of got my six in mind. However, I'm right in understanding that Sonny's not available due to suspension.
You are correct.
You're correct.
Yeah, that because of that dirty, jammy git at Bournemouth, wasn't it?
Yeah. We're moving on from that. We're not living in the past.
I know.
Remember the restraining order. Let's just move on.
Yeah. No, okay, yeah. Oh, sorry, Lerma. So I'm going with Ndombele, Winks, Eriksen.
In a what?
To sit as a three.
Okay.
And
Eriksen deep.
Well, no, Winks would be your deep Wait, one.
So okay, so the bottom of a diamond then.
Yep.
I thought you were the football coach here. What's going on? Explain it to me.
So I've got a 4-5-1, but the five will they will move. They will rotate. They will rotate.
I hope they'll move.
They will rotate. So what I mean is basically I've got Eriksen, I've got Moura and Lamella in there, and I wouldn't expect them to stay in the same on the same side or in the same place.
So they would
be offering the net. They would be offering the width further up.
Okay, fine. So you're going back four, and so the only player who maybe would have started if you're looking at the three would have been Sissoko. But you haven't gone for Sissoko, so you've gone for Eriksen. So it's a little bit more attacking, which I think is right. It's Villa at home. Come on, if you're not going to go attacking, then and you know, so you got Winks to mop up, and then Ndombele. I wouldn't be surprised if that is the actual lineup that he does go for, because Lamella for me has looked good in preseason. We talk about the young players, but he's looked hungry, he's looked fit, I think he's been the one sort of out of the regulars who's really stepped up and staked a claim. Moura as well has been looking good, so he's another one in my team. Oh, I'm just giving away my secrets. I think he's real, and obviously we've got Ali and Son suspended and Ali injured, so in a way those sort of those decisions have already been made. It's really whether he goes for Sissoko in replace of either maybe a Lamella or an Eriksen, and he tries to go a little bit more defensive. But I think at home to Villa, I think it'd be all right. So Dom, what are you thinking? What are you?
I have to agree with you. I think that Lamella for sure has put himself in contention for a starting place. Based on his pre-season, we know this player very well, and he's looked really sharp. He's looked as sharp as he has been for a long time. So for me, he has to start. I'm kind of, it's a toss up between Winks and Sissoko for me. I think Sissoko could probably guide Ndombele through the game a bit better, but. I think, like what you said, the team is picking itself. Because Ali's out and because Son is injured, we kind of know really what was. There's only probably one or two places up for grabs.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it, really.
So next week, obviously, Son will be back and then Ali might be back. So then maybe they'll just swap in for Lamella and Moura. It's good to have options, isn't it? You know, that's and obviously we've got Lo Celso. I doubt he's going to start.
One thing I'm going to say now, and I'm going to say this, I'm saying this now because I don't want to say it later on, is that I want to see more man management from Pochettino. I don't want to see players being played until they get injured. I want to see him be able to rotate players and change players a bit more. I want to see more rotation. I think that's, if there's a sentence that binds together what I'm trying to say, is it's more rotation. Let's not allow players to get injured. And that goes for everyone from Winks to all the way down the line.
Kane and Sissoko definitely bore the brunt of it last season, I would say.
For sure.
And Kane especially, when we were 3-0 up at home to Southampton, I think it was. I was just like, what are you doing? Like, Jesus. Like, I could not believe it. And, you know, I do find that very frustrating because we have, you know, as we've just been discussing, we have got the quality now to come off the bench. And obviously, if you still need to score, but if the game's won, then, you know, just get them off straight away. Okay, so Tim, I'm going to speak to you about formations, but I'm also going to ask you a question about right backs, because were you surprised? There was rumours that we were in for a couple of right backs. Obviously, Foyt has been injured and suspended, and obviously Kyle Walker-Peters seems to have that place at the moment. Are you concerned with the lack of right back options? Do you worry that he's going to end up playing Eric Dyer there, or Sissoko, or Toby maybe moved out to the right and then he brings Sanchez into the centre, because Toby does play right back for the national team sometimes?
I'm hoping that Foyt can embrace the position and excel there. That's my hope. Obviously, he's got the injury. He's going to be out for, I guess, probably about a month or so. But I liked what I saw from him in limited instances when he would go forward from the center. And he does seem to have enough ability to take players on. He seems to be kind of a little bit mischievous with the ball. And I mean that in a good way, where he doesn't necessarily give it away, but he'll take a guy on, he can beat somebody and then make the pass and do it smartly. So my hope, when I heard that, you know, that he was going, you know, our likely option at right back, I wasn't so much bothered by it. I mean, would I have liked to have signed somebody before the window closed who has more experience at the position? Yeah, of course. But it doesn't bother me that he could be our number one option there.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing for me is experience. And I think with Walker-Peters and with Foyt, is you are looking for them to learn of someone. And obviously, Aurier is there as well. We shouldn't forget that he is still a player. I know that he's a fan favorite of ours, but for me,
learned how to take a throw in yet?
Well, this is the thing. He's so hit and miss for me that I just struggle to have faith in him, because I know that he's a mistake waiting to happen and a sending off or a booking waiting to happen. And that's a penalty even, you know, and that's incredibly dangerous for me, but I know that he can pull out an amazing cross as he did for the Vertonghen goal against Borussia. I know he's got that in his locker, and that's why it's so frustrating, because like he does have potential, but you can't have a right back in your team who is so mistake prone, I don't think. And that's for me the problem. So it will be interesting to see. Who knows what Poch is going to do this season with them all, but it's I would have liked someone with more experience, but I think there is enough between them to be able to handle it.
Let me add two more things. Number one, Kyle Walker-Peters at the right back, like you said, against Ronaldo, played well, and I thought recovered well when players did get past him. And I think that's critical for any back to be able to do that. The other thing, as much as I love Harry Winks, can you imagine what our midfield is going to look like if we have Sissoko and Ndombele on the field at the same time? Excuse me, on the pitch at the same time. I don't want to sound American. But those two guys, they're both enormous. And when they both play physical, they're going to destroy people. I can't wait to see that combination.
They're going to eat up midfield.
Yeah, okay. Flip it out. It's not American football. It's not about that. But I think in comparison to Winks and Sissoko, I think they're very different players. And I think right. Winks brings you a transition, but he also brings you hopefully an incisive pass moving forward. And he's different. But I think it was, you know, we're talking about it like there's only 11 players on the team for the whole time. You know, this is a 60-65 game season, and it's a squad game, and they will all be very, very vital. And I'm sure they will all play important roles. So it's good to have that rotation, as you touched on, the need to have rotation. And it's good that we have that we're talking about players who we would not mind coming in. We almost have like a second team now who could play, and we'd be happy with them. So this is good. I think we're in a good spot. So let's talk about previews, predictions. Let's talk about scores. So Aston Villa are our opponents, and we haven't got an Aston Villa fan although we might get one throughout the season. So if you do know anyone they want to get in touch, let me know. So they've signed quite a few players, actually. They've signed quite a lot, but I don't really know all of them. So it'll be interesting to see how they got on this season. Lee, I'm going to start with you first. What is your score prediction?
My score prediction is going to be a tight game that we finish off near the end, and it's going to be 3-1 and a cracking start to the season.
3-1. So KWP is not going to get my clean sheet that win my fantasy league team.
No, but he will give you an assist.
Oh, okay. Thank you. over to Tim. What are you thinking, Tim?
I'm thinking with your fantasy team in mind, 3-0.
Thank you very much. Good to know. All right. 3-0. Yeah, it's just a good scoreline. You both think there's going to be score 3 goals. Do we think Lo Celso is going to start or not start? Do we think he's going to play at all?
I think he'll be on the bench.
Lo Celso.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely be on the bench. He'll be on the bench for sure.
That'll be exciting. I'm going to get down there for 11:30 now. What? Get that extra drink in. Get that extra drink in. Get that extra drink in. Sorry. I'm getting excited. I'm leaving now. okay.
That's usually my chant, by the way.
Oh, really? Jeez, man. It's been a while. All right, Dom, what are you saying?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but
oh God, who invited you?
They've signed like nearly 2 squads. We have no idea what they're going to put out. We can only prepare as best as we can. We're at home, but I just feel like, you know, it's the start of the season. There's nervous energy. I feel like it's going to be a draw. I don't know why, but that's
how wow. I feel.
It's a feeling rather than me basing it on anything. So I'm going to go with a 1-1.
Okay. All right.
And that's not being negative. It's just how I feel.
Well, it is negative. So.
Yeah, cheers for coming, Don.
To predict a draw at home to Villa is negative, you're aware.
All right. Yes, I can't just stand the negativity.
Jesus. Flipping hell. It's like being back on Facebook. Whoa, boy. Okay. All right. Okay, I think 2-0. I think 2-0. I'm going to meet somewhere in the middle. I think we're going to be too good for them. We're going to have too much. And we definitely have options off the bench now if we need them. So, I can see us having a lot of ball. Fingers crossed. The one thing we didn't talk about is keepers. Obviously, Vorm has gone. They haven't signed anyone else. So, Lloris obviously is number one. Gazzaniga too. So maybe Alfie Whiteman, is he just going to be the 3? Because if Lloris does get injured or one of them for quite a while, then we're going to have to rely on that keeper quite a lot. So was anyone expecting another keeper to come in, or did you think it was needed, Lee?
Do you know what? You goalkeepers, it's just that position, isn't it? You always, if you get somebody injured, you always worry about the backup. And we've been quite blessed because we had Gazzaniga step forward, and previous to him we was all happy when Michel Vorm signed from Swansea because we'd seen him in action, and you're like, so you kind of had he didn't make you so nervous, and so then demoting him, if you like, for want of a better word, to third choice, you always felt comfortable with your goalkeeping team, so. Yeah, maybe you look at Man City, and you know they've gone and got Scott Carson and brought him in as their third choice, and Liverpool have gone and got Adrian as their third choice. So yeah, maybe sometimes you want a bit of experience, but do you know what? It's a very technical position. So are we holding Whiteman back? And if we are, then maybe, you know, we've got to expose him a little bit. So no, I'm gonna go with it and go, yeah, it's always nice. Because I think everybody, you see the goalkeeper, and if they make a mistake, it's all eyes on them. You know, it's just that position, the way people look at them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with it and go, no, we're good. And, you know, if Whiteman sits on the bench for a League Cup game, and so be it. If he appears in the FA Cup, then so be it. We've got to start him somewhere. They've got to start somewhere.
We do. And to be fair to Gazzaniga, there were some cracking saves in those penalty shootouts. Really, really good. So he's looking good. But Lloris still worries me, to be fair. Like, we're probably going to touch on it throughout the season. I hope we're not going to touch on it too much with regards to him losing points for us. But for me, last season, it was still too much. And people say that he redeemed himself in certain games. For me, I think he's still a risk. So we shall see if it changes. We shall see if Gazzaniga gets more games, and we shall see if he ever does claim that number one spot. So
I think, going back to what I said earlier about rotation, I feel like we're in that point. You know, there's a transition that needs to be made with the goalkeeper, and this is a season to maybe give Gazzaniga some Premier League starts. That's how I feel. I don't know how many, but, you know, we need to think about him, not just in a cup competition, but just think about him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, let's leave it there for today. Been an absolute pleasure to speak to you all, and been an absolute pleasure to get back on it, and really, really look forward to the weekend. And, look at Lee's face just thinking about all those beers, that he's not going to drink when he goes for a water. Like a pussy. Classic pod bants. I look forward to seeing some of you at the game. Tim, you'll be there in spirit, as I said. So thank you very much to Tim Leonard, all the way from New York, to Mr. Lee Curtin and Mr. Big Bad Don. Been a pleasure once again. This is the Thing I Love Most show. If you've not listened to us before, we started last season, the beginning of last season, and we had a really, really good season. We do sometimes do videos as well, but predominantly we are a podcast. If you want to catch us on social media, it's TTILM show on Instagram and on Twitter, and the Thing I Love Most show is on Facebook. And as I said, we do videos sometimes, and they are on our YouTube channel. So if you want to get involved in the show in any way, if you want to send us questions to discuss, if you'd like to appear on the show, because we do these podcasts via Skype, so really simple to get involved, and we'd love to hear your opinions. So please do get in touch with the show on any of the social media handles, and we look forward to hearing from you. And once again, it's only a couple of days, so come on, you Spurs! We're singing in France, and we're singing in Spain. We're singing the sun, and we're singing the rain. It's one of the short bursts, but it